starts afresh with a new segment, you know what I mean?
Maybe so. I think that's probably what happens. So right now, it's recording again.
Okay.
And we're just going to assume, I'll just take this out, there's no need to put it in.
We'll just assume that it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, because I have checked it before and not had any problems.
So why don't we pick up with you all suing the YMCA? What was that about?
YMCA! Oh boy, that takes us back to exercise, is what started all that.
Yeah, I wanted to get Martha a birthday present. And I wanted it to be a family membership at the YMCA so that all of us, because Emily was maybe three, maybe, so we could all go swimming and play ball and just, you know, work out a little bit. And so we decided to go to...
It was for my birthday?
I think it was for your birthday.
I was thinking it was for your birthday, but it must have been mine.
Yeah, I think it was for yours. It was supposed to be a present for you. So we, Martha and I went to the YMCA on Cottage Grove Road to get our family. Well, first we went downtown to the old YMCA that used to be right there on the office square.
Okay.
We went down there to get a family membership. And they said... And because she and I had worked out there for a long time in the weight room, so we knew some of the people. And they said, well, are you sisters or something, you know, what's your relationship? And we said, well, we live together, we're, you know, lesbian partners. Well, if you had told us that you were sisters, we could have given you a family membership. If you just lied to us and said that you were sisters, we could give you one. But now that we know that you're not sisters, that you're living together and you're in the same-sex relationship, we can't give you one.
I don't think they said same-sex.
No, they didn't.
That would have been way too...
But that was the message, basically. So then we decided that we would go to another YMCA, which was the one at Cottage Grove and 51, where it still is now.
Mm-hmm.
So we drove over there, went in, and went up to the front desk. And you take it from here because you're better at this part.
Yeah. Well, I think we asked for a tour downtown first.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. We asked for a tour. They showed us all around. And then we said, okay, now we'd like to get a family membership. And they were like, family membership? And then they said, well, what's your relationship? And we said, well, you know, we live together and... we have children that we're raising together, and of course they looked like they'd never heard of anything like that in their lives. And so as Alex said, when they turned us down, they said, well, if you would have told us, you know, something else, like that you're sisters, then we could have, but I can't possibly do it. The woman was really nice downtown.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I just can't, it's probably not gonna work. So then we thought, well, we'll go to the east since we were living on Jennifer Street at the time, and we thought, well, that would be pretty close. And we went in there and went through the same thing. We're interested in getting membership. Could we tour around? Mm-hmm. We hadn't really been there.
Yeah, that's true.
Much at all. And they showed us around, and then we said, okay, now we want to have a membership. And so she got out the forms, or no, the man got out the forms, the owner.
The woman who gave us the tour was, I remember her as kind of a small woman who seemed kind of scared when we asked her about becoming members. She looked really scared and worried. Or
like it was out of her realm just to say that this could happen. Because we wanted that rate. We wanted the family membership rate. And so she said, you're going to have to talk to the director. And we went to his office, and it was rather a cavernous room. He had a big desk.
Absolutely no and, character either in him or the room.
Yeah. And he was saying, well, what can I do for you? And I said, we would like a family membership. And
we are a family.
Yeah, we're a family, and we'd like a family membership. And at that point, he opened the desk drawer and got out a Bible and said, this is a Christian organization, you know, Young Men's Christian Organization or Association. And I remember I looked at Alex, and she started crying. Remember, honey, mm-hmm. you started crying.
Mm-hmm. It was either that or hit him, and I figured I might just cry, you know?
And I remember feeling so angry that this could possibly happen, that she would have to start crying because this man was a total bigot and a homophobe. And then I just got really angry. I was like, we want this membership. And you have to give this to us. Didn't we say?
Oh, and then he pulled out he opened up another drawer and pulled out a booklet written by the IRS and turned to page such and such where there's a definition of family according to the IRS and said, see, you don't meet this definition of a family. You're not a family. I mean, that's what really got me, I think, was this bozo standing up there and saying, you're not a family to us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he wasn't yelling at us or anything. He was just self-assured that he was the power, and we were just groveling there trying to get this family membership. And we should be denied this.
Mm-hmm. Because we were two women. We weren't a real family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think another thing that made me so angry is because I thought, you know, I could walk in here with any man with, you know.
A baby rapist.
Mm-hmm. And they'd give you anyone. Membership, you know? Mm-hmm. And they aren't going to say, where's your marriage license?
That's right.
Well, in fact, I don't know if you remember Brooks Edgerton, who used to work for the Capital Times here for a long time until he moved to Dallas. Right now works for the Dallas Morning News. He and I were actually going to do that. We were going to do it in like a fair housing thing. We were going to just walk in and say, we want a family membership. Mm-hmm. We never did it. We probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Because it would have been interesting.
To test it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we were so upset, and didn't we call Barb Cox?
Yeah, I think we did. I think we did call Barb, actually. And she referred us. She said we could file a complaint with the EOC.
Yeah.
Because she was on the EOC then. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we did. We filed a lawsuit, basically.
Uh-huh. Did you have to pay for a lawyer, or did someone cover it for you, like the ACLU or something?
No, the ACLU wasn't involved. Did Shelley do work on that? I don't remember.
No.
She did, or who drew up the complaint? I don't remember. Maybe the EOC. I don't know.
Yeah, the EOC. I can't remember the woman's name right now. But we did have a fundraiser. Remember? At the Comeback Inn, or with Sherry Becker.
Yeah, remember that place?
Was it the back door? Or the Comeback Inn?
It was right on East Wilson.
Yeah.
I think it was. Was it the back door?
I think it used to be called the back door. Yeah.
Yeah.
When Sherry Becker ran it, and it was kind of wild and woolly down there. We had a fundraiser. And
DJ Whipperfirth used to bartend there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that was before.
It might have been before.
But we had this fundraiser, and people came and gave money, and Sherry got on the PA system for the bar every 5 minutes. Let's hear it for the Pop Olsons, God bless them. And then people start dancing and cavorting about.
Right.
And then we had to have a press conference on the steps of the Y.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Heinen was there.
Five people showed up at our wonderful press. We called a press conference because we wanted this in the media. Mm-hmm. We wanted to expose the fact that the Y was so hypocritical. And actually, at that time, Wisconsin was such a leader.
Yeah, we already had the non-discrimination.
And gay rights.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That happened in 82, so...
Yep.
Yeah, I remember Neil was there taping it for his radio show. He was pretty supportive, and the Y sent their lawyer, you know, their hatchet man, and we were there, and a couple other people were there. I don't remember who they were now. We said our thing, and it wound its way into the EOC, and it kind of got batted back and forth like a badminton birdie, and the EOC finally decided that since the city council by that time was now looking at a domestic partner ordinance, that it would be premature or it would be detrimental to have this sort of parallel suit going on at the same time. So they concluded our suit without any kind of resolution. But then wasn't it like a year later, maybe not even a year later,
that they passed
the city domestic partnership.
Yeah.
And I think they looked at some of the things that we had had written in the complaint about why couldn't we have a family partnership, and
what would the domestic partnership cover?
Uh-huh.
Would it allow you
public accommodation?
Public accommodation. Yeah. Would the Y fall under that, or would it just be for things that were under the city's
control?
Yeah. So it was limited what would happen.
But I think it did help the council sort of over the hump to passing the domestic, the city domestic.
And so when it passed, did you then get your membership?
Well, no. At that point, we had in the meantime, while this was all pending, we joined as a family. We joined the Princeton Club.
Okay.
The old Princeton Club, which was out on the east side, because they were a private business, and they took anybody for any reason whatsoever.
New Horizons?
It was called New Horizons, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we joined as a family, and they were fine with that.
Mm-hmm. And they took us in, the old owners.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that would suffice. I mean, it wasn't the same, because it wasn't... it didn't encompass the things that we wanted for the kids, really.
Right.
It didn't have lessons. It didn't have facilities. There was only one day a week, I think, that you could take your kids swimming there.
Mm-hmm.
But we went ahead and got that membership. I remember people used to joke that we were going from one recreational facility to another, like... darts on a dartboard. Okay, we're targeting them first. First the Y downtown, then the East Y, then off to New Horizons.
Well, and it happened so many times. We tried to get into Harbor Athletic Club in Middleton. They didn't have a family policy at the time. We went to Shorewood to join the pool as a family. They didn't have one. We basically, our case forced them to then change and have family memberships for same-sex couples, which they still have now. So I think it did help to open quite a few doors. And Harbor got sued, actually, over not having same-sex family membership. I don't know how that worked out. I can't remember anymore, but...
No, they were threatened, and then they changed their policy. Remember, they wrote us a nasty note?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had gone in there and said something about I wanted to join there as a couple, and basically had called them on the fact that they weren't asking couples who weren't legally married that question.
Right.
And they wrote us like a one or two sentence letter on just plain paper, no letterhead, not signed, nothing, just really a hatchet job.
You can have your membership now.
Okay. How long was it from the time you filed the suit to the time that you got the membership?
At
the Y. Oh, it never happened at the
Y. We never wanted to get.
We were so angry with them. We decided, hell with it.
We're not going to join there. We're going to join some other place.
And
so we joined New Horizons, and then
I don't think we ended up going to the Y again.
No, we didn't. We just dropped them. And then we joined, we made Shorewood change their ordinance so we could join there as a family. So the kids could, you know, we could just go on the family, at the family rate and have the kids take swim lessons and swim and stuff there.
Yeah, and I remember someone was interviewing us on the radio. I don't know if it was Wart or one of the other radio stations, but there was that sound bite that... they were saying, well, have you finally found a place where you can take your children to exercise and swim? And I said, yes, we're holding the membership cards to the Shorewood pool, and as soon as the sun comes out, we're going swimming.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and years later, we've had people come up and say, because of you, we got our membership at the Shorewood pool.
That's nice.
Yeah, I have no idea what the... I think the Y ended up skirting the whole issue by going to individual memberships.
Huh.
Like two adults.
And getting rid of their family memberships altogether, you mean?
I believe that was what happened.
That's what they did for a while. I don't know if they still do that now or not.
Yeah.
I would hope that they had grown up enough to give everybody family memberships who want one now. But we just turned our backs on them because, you know, we didn't have time to put up with their silliness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or two adults who live in a household and then whatever children live within under that roof. Yeah.
Okay.
We're still
doing well here. You can see the thingy going up and down in the light. Any other lawsuits? Is there anybody else you've taken to task here?
A few people I'd like to. well, I don't think so, have we?
Well, how about the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking about something that happened at Middleton where they were trying to... The principal we had at the time was basically... being coerced by a group of very conservative parents who wanted to have access to classrooms and drop in at any time. And part of their agenda was they wanted to make sure that the teachers weren't, certain teachers weren't using a curriculum that would somehow go against their religious beliefs. And it was pretty frightening. It was rather a witch hunt. And I remember at one point they were going to, these parents who were spearheading this whole group, they had just talked the principal into letting them come into the classroom and just show up on a particular morning. But what happened was all the kids... who were involved with the Gay Straight Alliance or whatever it was at that time, everyone showed up in that same hallway at the time. These parents were coming and did this huge like demonstration in the hall, and everyone had on their rainbow ribbons, and it was really powerful to just show support to the teachers. I think maybe it was Vicky's classroom or maybe it was Lisa's. I can't even remember. But we had some problems. And then we had a lot of problems with a group of teachers who decided that they were going to have a petition going around to try to scapegoat the lesbian teachers by asking teachers to sign that they believed that we had a lesbian or gay agenda, and finding out who was on those lists and trying to figure out how to combat that. And I remember our strategy was that we divided up, we got the names of the people who had signed this particular petition, because luckily we had a fabulous principal then who was extremely supportive, Tom Vandervest. And he talked to us about people who had signed, and the group decided to divide that up, and each of us would personally go talk to the person who had signed this. And that was amazing. I remember talking to one of the coaches who basically broke down and started crying, that he felt so bad that he had done that, and
wow.
that he knew that it was wrong. And
wow.
yeah, it was really, it was a very emotional time.
Hmm.
But I think it was a good way to do it. It was like facing yes. that fear.
Yes.
And actually meeting with the person and saying, you know, here I am. This is who I am. This mm-hmm. is my family. And, you know, if you're unhappy with what I'm doing at the school or how I treat the students, then come and talk to me. Let's talk as two people.
Yeah.
You know, as coworkers, as friends. And it worked pretty well. I think we had a couple of sticklers, but...
Yeah. What a wonderful strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that was one of Glisson's strategies, actually, Kevin Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And didn't you win an award, a Glisson Award, at some point? Am I imagining?
She was one of the Outreach Woman of the Year 1 year.
Okay, oh,
and I got that
Outreach Woman of the Year.
And she was also a distinguished UW Distinguished Alumni Award of the Year.
Okay.
After that.
All right.
For all of this work that she did.
Mm-hmm.
With LGBT issues and yeah. Did Glisson give you?
They didn't do the Teacher of the Year award at that point. You didn't receive
no.
that. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Oh, you mean at the celebration?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't think.
But Outreach Woman
was,
of the Year,
yeah.
UW Alumni yeah. Woman mm-hmm. of the Year. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
She gave an incredible speech at that UW Awards presentation. Just people were just sitting there just like, wow.
Oh.
It was great.
Yeah.
We still have a copy of it. It's really a good speech. Just strong and courageous and right out there and
yeah. the funniest,
changing the world speech.
The funniest thing was I was sitting with our two kids, Tim and Emily, and your sister and Delina, I think, was there, maybe even your mom.
Mm.
And right before I was ready to get up and give my speech, Emily looked at me. She goes, "Mom, you have two different earrings on." And I was like, "Ah! Why didn't you tell me?" It's like, all the political stuff went out the window. It was all about the clothes. And Emily was like, "How could I have worn two different earrings?" Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So,
I do remember something funny about Glisson, though. When we had the leadership awards, when we were still doing mm-hmm. it at First Unitarian Society, Lisa Arley and I were determined that we were going to try to get Ellen DeGeneres to come. Because she was slated to perform at...
The Civic Center.
Oh, my.
At the same time, it was usually around Mother's Day mm-hmm. when we had the celebration or whatever we called it then,
mm-hmm.
scholarship, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put together these collages of the students from Middleton, and we wrote these heart-wrenching stories about these kids and how we knew for sure that she would want to just drop in because we figured, well, she's performing on a Saturday night. This was going to be on a Sunday afternoon. It was always on a Sunday afternoon in those
uh-huh.
days. And couldn't she just drive over to First Unitarian Society? Or, of course, we would be willing to pick her up. And just drop in as a total surprise for the kids. Of course, it didn't work, and probably the saddest thing was that one of the producers called our house, and when I got home that day, I, you know, got the voice messages, and it was like, "Hi, this is so-and-so from the Ellen DeGeneres, wanting to talk to Martha Pop," and I was like, "Oh my God, I missed my opportunity to at least talk to her producer
yeah.
or someone who works for her."
Yeah.
But
that's
it
cool
didn't
that they
work.
Called, though. I
yeah.
mean, they could have just
mm-hmm.
blown us
yes.
up totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's lovely.
She does so much. Now.
That's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
How about
mm-hmm.
sports? Either of you involved in any sports teams in Madison?
Oh, no. A lot of them, yes.
Both of you? Or just you, Alex?
I think more just me.
What'd you play? What teams were you on?
Oh, my God. Well, I played, as soon as I got here, I hooked up with softball, women's fast pitch softball, and played that for...
Were you on the same team as Sherry Maples?
Was I?
Or same league?
Same league.
Okay.
Yeah, Alabama.
Okay.
I played on a lot of different Alabama League teams. I probably played on like 7 or 8 different teams.
And that was the highest level.
That was the highest.
Yeah.
We played for at least 15, 20 years there.
And what, were they all lesbian teams?
Pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And yeah, that was great. That was really good competition, good times, good people.
Mm-hmm.
That league in its heyday was hard to beat. It was really talented.
So that's
very,
what I
very
hear.
Very talented athletes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I also played basketball, City League basketball, for maybe, I don't know, what do you think, 8 years?
Yeah.
8 or 9, 10 years maybe, tops. And I played a lot of soccer, and I got, later in life, I got involved with a team when I was in my 40s called the Bovine Babes.
I remember the Bovine Babes.
Yeah, and played with them for a number of seasons, both indoor and outdoor. And in 1994, both Martha and I competed at the New York City Gay Games.
Oh.
And I was on the soccer team there. And the Bovine Babes ended up winning the silver medal in the women's open division.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we got beat by a Division I collegiate or just out of college team from Colorado, which really probably didn't have much business being there because it was like they were a college team that sort of came to this event, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But we had a fabulous time. It was 6 games in 6 days. And if you ask anybody who plays soccer if that's a rigorous schedule, they'll just look at you and say, oh, my God, how did you do that? And I'm not sure how we did that because...
Adrenaline.
Because you were all in your 40s at
the
time.
Well, no, I was by far the oldest person on the team. Most of the women were in their mid to late 20s, early 30s tops, you know?
Uh-huh.
And... it was hot, and it was summer and June, but it was also the 25th anniversary of Stonewall.
Yeah.
So it was a huge, huge deal.
Oh.
And we stayed on after the competition and for another 4 or 5 days and went to all of the Stonewall events and the huge gay pride parades. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that must have been wonderful.
It was fabulous.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And Martha swam. She was the only Wisconsin swimmer in the entire event, and I was very proud of her. She's entered in 3 different events as was it Masters? Were you in the Masters division?
It's a Masters program for swimming, and I had been in competitive swimming in Bowling Green University. One of the first women's team at Bowling Green University.
Wow.
Yes, yes. The Bowling Green Splashers. The most humiliating name. But we swam intercollegiate. We swam against Kent State and Michigan and Miami of Ohio and Ohio State. And yeah, so I thought, well, hey, why not? You know, I can put on the old suit and do this. And
the facility that they had the swimming in was brand new, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was called something green. It was up on the Upper East Side. Just state of the art Olympic sized pools and diving facilities. And they had the same time that the swimming was going on, or just after that, they had the men's diving. And actually, Greg Louganis was there doing like a demonstration diving and stuff. And there were 2 or 3 men's world records broken during that swimming competition.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was top flight athletic competition there.
Wow.
That was really exciting. And I think the hard thing for me was that I was doing it as an individual and I didn't have a team, whereas mm-hmm. there, New York and a few other places, California, groups from California, you know, they had a whole swimming team that they had worked out together.
And you were all by yourself.
Yeah.
She was representing the whole state of Wisconsin. I was.
It was cool. Lots of fabulous parties. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
The Apollo.
Wow.
Yeah, really amazing. It was just an amazing couple. About 10 days we were there. It was,
oh, how wonderful.
And
it was great.
We were there with Vicki Schaefer, and she had come along with her partner at the time, Denise Markham, who was doing bodybuilding.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And had to go through all the spraying her body with the paint and the dye and
living on one sardine every day.
Yeah, we stayed together and my gosh.
Yeah, that was wonderful. It was a great time to be a lesbian in New York City, you know, and just feel like you owned the world. And I remember after the gold medal game and after all the medals had been handed out, we left. There's a group of, me and Martha, and I don't know who else was with us, but we were walking down. It was a Sunday, so most of the stores were closed. But we ran into this little restaurant, and I was just famished. And so we went in, and I had the medal around my neck. Well, the waiter came over, and the manager came over, and, wow, you were in the gay games? That's awesome. You know, people were so, everywhere we went in New York, we told them we were participating in the gay games when we were there from Wisconsin. They were just totally proud and so excited for us and so welcoming. You know, it was it was the antithesis of what you think of New Yorkers to be like.
Right.
They were just welcoming and open arms, and it was wonderful.
And we had the parade in Yankee Stadium.
Closing ceremonies, in Yankee Stadium.
My.
Where every country walked through. I'm getting chills thinking
of it.
It
was so cool.
Every country with their colors and their banners. And
What was the guy's name that you got?
Harvey Firestein.
Harvey Firestein or Firestein. Yeah. He was the MC, and he was on the mic, and, you know, his voice was like this.
And wasn't Patti LaBelle?
Patti LaBelle was there, and some of the
belting it out in Yankee Stadium.
Oh, it was fabulous.
It was like going to gay and lesbian camp when an entire huge city turns wonderful and loving, and it's exciting, and you just want it to go on forever.
Oh.
Because you don't ever want to come back to your life where,
where people look at you and think you're weird.
Where you can't smooch it up or hold hands or.
And do you remember in the gay pride parade that year, there was a flag that was like 10 blocks long, 20 blocks long. It was enormous.
Mm-hmm.
It went on forever.
I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, yes. It stretched for miles, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. It was just so incredible.
Yeah.
It really was.
Well, it was like the flag that was draped over the Hotel Washington after it burned down.
Yes.
It was similar to that.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing that. That was just a wonderful story. Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the Hotel Washington. What about the Hotel Washington in your life? Is that a place that the two of you ever ate at, went to the new bar? Or?
I remember I loved those cottage fries.
Yeah, that restaurant downstairs.
On the first floor.
The new bar came sort of at the end. I think we went there sometime.
And there was the barber's closet. Yeah.
We used to get a haircut.
By Catherine.
Catherine and Sally.
Catherine and Sally. We used to go there for cocktails. I remember that great door that you'd open up. And that was a very romantic place.
It was.
And it was, it's where you went for your serious date or.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to have a.
Or crazy dancing.
Yeah, dancing.
Once they put the new bar in.
So what did you think when it burned down?
Well, we were at the Union and that day, and it was an alumni celebration.
Union?
Yeah, that morning we had gone there. It was like the week when they had the alumni celebration, mm-hmm. but there was some kind of a ecumenical church service that day too. It was like Gay Pride Week. Yeah, it was Pride Week.
Yeah, wasn't we at that luncheon that they have?
Yes.
They honor the alumni?
Yeah, because I remember we were just about ready to go into the ballroom.
Yeah.
And sit down where they were going to be honoring, I don't know, Dick Wagner or whoever it was that year. And someone came in and said, we found out that that wasn't it the night before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it had burned that night after bar time.
Right, and everyone was horrified, and they thought it was...
they thought it was arson.
Yeah,
it was never conclusively proven. They mm-hmm. just thought they traced it to a cigarette butt in a
right.
basket.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, could be a convenient excuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was Ron Greer.
Everybody thought it was Ron Greer, because that was a time when he was, you know, hot mm-hmm. to trot.
And the story was that he was standing outside cheering.
Oh, he did. He brought his kids down there.
Mm-hmm. I actually saw him.
Yeah,
when I was there.
Right.
Yeah. He was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what we decided to do was Martha actually had this idea. We went down there one day after everything was out and it was just a pile of rubble, and someone had hung the flag. Someone brought it up from Chicago, didn't they? Wasn't that the story?
Well, we had had it when we had the things at Brittingham Park. Remember, they used to bring that out for Pride.
The big one, yeah.
Yeah, the big one, and they'd throw it up and down, and mm-hmm. when they used to have the purse run and the...
the high heel.
The relays.
Yeah. So we saw that, and she's, you know, you
someone
said
draped it over.
We need to just memorialize this somehow. And so we ended up taking a photograph of it. And then we had 1,000 posters printed up of that photograph.
Oh, you're the ones who did that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, we took it to a place down in McFarland that printed it for us.
Wells Printing.
Yep. And
we decided we would have it as a fundraiser so that if anything ever came back from the ashes of that, we wanted there to be mm-hmm. a meeting place. Actually, we were hoping it would be for teens and mm-hmm. young people. Because we thought that that was the most important thing, is that they would have a place to go and mm-hmm. meet in the mm-hmm. city mm-hmm. that would be safe and would be fun and would be social. And
yeah, we sold all of them except one. We have one left.
Huh.
But I think we might be donating to the GSA silent auction.
Hmm.
Yeah. We should probably think about that. But yeah, they were very popular, and we sold them through Room of One's Own. Well, we started selling them just on our own, mm-hmm. but then it got to be so overwhelming that we contacted Sandy and Nancy down there, and they said, oh yeah, you can sell them through here. So that's what we did.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like every other day they'd be calling us for more of them, you know, because they flew off the shelves.
Yeah.
So, and then we came to the end, and we thought, well, should we print another 1,000? But we didn't know if we could sell them, so we just did those. That. Mm-hmm. 1,000, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
at that point, nothing was going to happen with the Hotel Washington.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a hope and a dream that something would mm-hmm. happen.
Yes.
But now we have a service station.
Right.
Yeah. Mobile, no less.
Yeah.
Which does not recognize domestic partnerships, which mm-hmm. is why we canceled our credit card there.
Good for you.
And then we canceled our BP credit card after the oil spill, so now we just pay cash.
Right around town looking for a place to get cash.
Yeah, we've had it with oil companies. Mm-hmm. Ride our mm-hmm. bikes more, too.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, at what point did you run for school board?
At what point?
I mean, it was maybe...
point that I never should have gotten to.
It was maybe 10, 12 years ago, I'm thinking.
It was...
the date on the button.
It was 2002, maybe.
Okay, but
somewhere
around
there.
Uh huh. Okay. And what prompted you to do it?
I was asked to do it.
Okay.
I would never have done it on my own.
Okay.
And unfortunately, my ego got the better of me, and I, after a lot of deliberation and talking with Martha, and you know, she said, "Sure, go ahead," but in hindsight, I don't think either of us really were ready for it or knew what we were getting into or really wanted to do it that much. It was way, way, way more overwhelming than I ever realized it would be. But I did meet a lot of wonderful people and make a lot of good connections. And I learned a lot about the electoral process, and it kind of confirmed my belief that elections have so much less to do with, values and so much more to do with who's got the loudest voice and who has the most backing and who's like
who's got the connections
and who's got the connections and the money. And,
yes, yes.
You know, it was just sort of the last nail in the coffin that you know, I mean, I was a child of the 60s and grew up with Vietnam War and just haven't trusted politics at all since then, and certainly don't now either. And so to be in that arena was very kind of weird. But it did have some positive things. Like I say, I learned a lot about the school board that I didn't know before. And running with Shua and Johnny was really fun. Because we sort of bonded together as the three musketeers. You know, we were all on the same page as far as the values and the goals that we had for the students and the teachers. And
she got to share a name with the slam poet.
Yeah,
we got to meet her.
She was in Madison doing a show, and so she invited me to come up on stage with her, two Alex Olsons at once, and that was cool. That was really fun.
Yeah, that's very cute.
She's a sweetheart, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah.
Actually, I met her again a couple of years later at some other function, and we both signed something, and we realized our signatures are virtually identical. It's so bizarre.
Wasn't that at the Historical Society? Mm-hmm.
Or the Union or something. Yeah, it was just... She signed something, and I said, wow. And then I signed something, and then she said, wow. And she spells her name the same. You know, we spell our names the same. And so it was interesting. It was hard. I mean, it was a lot of work, and it was I was still working full-time. And it really was hard on our relationship because what little time I had at home was then sucked into this whole campaign thing.
Yeah.
And she was a pawn, really.
Yeah,
I mean, they just used her so much.
The people who asked me to run were really trying to get rid of Ruth Robarts. And there was this big power struggle going on the school board. And because I had no interest or involvement in the school board up until the time that I was asked to run, I didn't understand that until it was too late.
Yeah, so we got swept into it thinking, oh, this is something we should be doing.
Uh-huh.
We need to do this. This is great. This is a culmination of so many things we believe in.
Yeah.
And never anticipating the demands that would be on Alex and the things she would be faced with.
Yeah.
So it was... It was really tough because in my heart... I thought, well, she should win. She's fabulous. But I also thought, this is crazy.
Uh-huh.
How will we survive? I mean, she works constantly already, and then she's going to be gone to meetings constantly and constantly caught up. And you can't grocery shop without someone coming up
and
bitching you out about something.
Yeah, yes. Or saying, you know, one thing or another about
it.
And so I remember the night before the election, I thought to myself, I think I'll run out and pull out all the Alex Olson signs from everyone's yard, put them in the back of the car and head for the border.
Because you had a feeling it would not have been a good thing.
I think we both thought that. We wanted her to win.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, she's fabulous, but... I think we both knew it wouldn't be good.
I understand.
I was really relieved when I didn't win. I mean, my ego took a blow, and then I suddenly woke up and realized this is a gift. This is a good thing for me.
You have your life back.
I mean, I have my life back. I realized the next two school board meetings, I would have missed them because of things that happened at work. It just wasn't a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard on Martha, you know, because here, as she said, I would be sometimes gone 24 hours and then come home and sleep and go right back after 4 hours again. And then how would I ever have fit that whole... And that's a very demanding position, that school board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially then, there was a lot of issues going on, and I think it would have been a hideous mistake. Uh-huh. And so I was actually relieved.
Yeah.
That I didn't win.
Mm-hmm. And Alex had to take a crash course on what's happening in the schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no
and
idea.
In Madison, which mm-hmm. was enormous. Our kids had gone to West, but at the time, were they out of school then?
Yeah, I think
they went to private school and to Wingra. And,
Yeah, it was just... Yeah. It taught me a lesson, you know, which is really, if you're going to do something of that magnitude, it should be something that came from you. Not because somebody else wants you to.
Yes.
And then you think, oh, gee, now I'm indebted to them for... I wasn't indebted to them, but somehow mm-hmm. I felt like I had to do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That plus the ego of, oh, yeah, I could do this. Oh, I'd be good at this.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, fundraising. You have to come mm-hmm. up with all this money.
Yeah.
And be at events or plan events and hope that people would show up and mm-hmm. ask your friends to host coffees
yeah.
and...
We did all that. We had to have a fundraiser after the election because we came up, you know, $600 or $700 short
uh-huh.
to pay off debt, you know, that I owed, or that somebody who had paid for something for me owed, you know,
right.
to newspapers
mm-hmm.
for ads or whatever it was. And mm-hmm. I wasn't going to let that die, and I wasn't going to let the publisher of the newspaper not get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to have more fundraisers mm-hmm. afterwards, but it all came out. It all got paid off.
Mm-hmm. And then people would come up to her and say, aren't you going to run again?
Yeah, right. I voted for you. Will you run again? I'd vote for you again. Oh, please, no. Aww. Leave me alone with a corpse. I'll be fine.
Yeah. No, honey, it was a lot easier to vote for me than to run.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, how about, you know, you were talking about the gay games in New York City and this lesbian haven. Well, in Michigan, we have a 1 week lesbian haven
mm-hmm.
that takes place. Do you ever go to the Michigan camp. Women's Music Festival?
No, we've never been there.
You've mm-hmm. never been.
Mm-mm.
And I'll tell you why. And it's going to sound old school now to the teeth, but back in the day, when we would have gone, we had a young boy child.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not welcome at the festival. And mm-hmm. as long as that policy was in effect, we decided we're not going.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so we never ended up going.
Wow.
Now that he's grown up and you know, we could go on our own, I don't know, maybe someday we will go, but that was a slap in our face and his face, and you know, it was just like, what were you thinking? I mean, I understand about women's only space, believe me. And I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a kid, how can you say to your kid, I can't take you because you have a penis?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's ridiculous. You mm-hmm. know, he's 4 years old.
And at that time, they weren't admitting children up to four of any sex.
They weren't admitting boys at all.
Not at all.
I think there was a time when no boys at all, because I think there had been a time when infants could go.
Who were breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Or maybe they changed that. I don't remember.
But then they said, no kids, male kids at all.
Today, I believe it's up to 4 years old, and then there's brother-son day camp. And mm-hmm. so the boys are in brother-son. And moms can visit, you know, or even mm-hmm. stay there or whatever.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
And the boys go to swimming and do mm-hmm. all kinds of wonderful things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good. I'm glad of that, and I'm glad that the women have their own space. It just wasn't.
It just didn't just work
at that time.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I understand.
Back in the 80s,
and I think we felt pretty strongly about it, as uh-huh. I recall too.
Uh huh.
Well, we also felt like the precious time that we had to vacation
mm-hmm.
with the children, we wanted to do something together
right.
as a family.
Of course.
And we wanted to go to the ocean or
sure.
wherever
sure.
we were going. We
because
loved to travel mm-hmm. with our kids, and that was very important.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And also with the divorce and just having a certain amount of time, you know, they would spend time with their dad, and they would spend time with us. So
mm-hmm.
I think our time was
very precious.
It was really
sure.
precious.
Sure, sure. Yeah. What about the lesbian variety show? Did either of you ever perform? Did you attend?
Oh, yeah.
We attended, and I was in one of them.
Yeah.
Were you in that, too, with us? Or was that... That was a bunch of cops.
Yeah.
What did you do?
We did a takeoff on a whole bunch of different product advertisements. Like Shake and Bake, and we got all these sort of funky product names, and then we built a skit around it.
Uh-huh.
And the punchline, I got to deliver the punchline, actually, which was something about...
Stay free.
It was something about, let's do this and that so we can all stay free. And as I said stay free, I stuck a Stay Free maxi pad right to my forehead.
I thought it was a cop with the red hair that did that.
No. Sherry Strand?
Yeah.
No, that was me.
That's
she did
great.
A Shake and Bake. And Laurie Schwartz was in on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember who all else. But there was about six or seven of us who did that.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably five or six of them at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when people used to fall asleep because it went on for so long.
Yeah.
Or you'd be sitting there for hours. And
mm-hmm. What about Apple Island? Did you attend events at Apple Island?
Mm-hmm. I do remember Wendy's show there,
mm-hmm.
where she flashed slides on her body. Wasn't that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Leaves and trees and
yeah.
stuff. That was Apple Island.
Mm-hmm.
And Lois was at Apple Island. I remember that.
Yeah.
Lois ran Apple Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely remember that.
We went there a lot,
mm-hmm.
actually. Went to some of the dances there, and that was a good time, actually.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
Mary
when
Wojtrowicz
I was...
did a lot of music there, and...
Mm-hmm.
I was mistaken for Holly Near.
Wonderful.
Michael
Barenbaum
mm-hmm. and Dickie Lee
yeah.
Were sitting behind us, and I was sitting in something happened, and I turned around and went, oh, we thought you were Holly Near.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, the wonderful music.
You know, backing up a little bit, did you have any contact with the Catherine Rouse?
I worked that case.
You worked the case, because various people have talked about that. What was that like for you in terms of the lesbian community and personally working it?
I didn't know her. I mean, we had looked, when we were looking for a house on the west side, she had shown us a house on Monroe Street.
Uh-huh.
I knew Catherine much better because of her connections with UW and
uh-huh,
the LGBT
uh-huh.
community, and I had met her a number of times, but I didn't
you
know...
You mean Mary.
I mean Mary.
Yeah,
I didn't
her
know,
sister.
I didn't know Catherine.
Uh-huh.
But I was working the case with Mary Otterson, who did know
mm-hmm.
Catherine very well. And...
So you were investigating the murder of her lover.
I didn't deal with the actual murder scene. I dealt with I was at Catherine's house.
Okay.
And there for hours and hours and hours, and with the SWAT team, and trying to get her to come out. And I remember Mary saying to me, you know she's dead in there. You know she's not alive anymore. And I said, well, how do you know that? And she said, because I know her, and I know that she would have just gone home and killed herself. And sure enough, that's what she had done.
Oh.
And so finally, after they threw a bunch of tear gas through the windows and went in, you know, and made sure that, in fact, that's what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did the investigation after that with another couple detectives. And I remember I didn't have a gas mask, so I went in there and I got all the tear gas. You know, I got tear gassed. The secondary tear gas when you're really prickly and sweating
uh-huh.
and you can't open your eyes and stuff. And sure enough, she was lying in bed, and she had shot herself, and, you know, just like Mary had predicted.
Well, was there a backlash in the community because it had been a lesbian
Not that I
love
know
affair.
About, but I didn't know the woman who she killed at
uh-huh.
all,
uh-huh.
And I didn't really know her at all either.
Okay.
So, to me, it was bad because they were lesbians, and I felt bad because of that. But I didn't know any of their community or any of their friends,
uh-huh.
and so I don't know what happened in the community.
Right.
Just it was
right.
a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
kind of thing, because it was so open and dramatic and violent and senseless.
And I think
it was lesbian domestic violence, and that's nothing that our community likes to really, you know, have to talk about. And suddenly it was on the front page, you know. To that degree it was hard, but
I think it did bring a lot of attention to lesbians, and it was up in the Heights, which was always considered to be
Catherine lived
where
in the Heights.
Wealthy people lived, and
she had a beautiful house actually,
and it was next door to Holtz.
Marsha Holtz and her partner, whose name I can never remember, the firefighters.
Well, they moved there later, but first it was...
No, they were there because we used their...
Was it Pam Jacobson at that time?
It was...
No, it was the woman she's with now.
Oh, yeah.
But we used her house as a command post. She was there at home, and they let us in to, you know, set up what we had to set up.
Chuck and Chuck lived across the street.
Well, they were up further, up the top of the hill more. But it was a as we say in the trade, a BFD, you know, because it was big fucking deal. Because it was high profile. It was someone who was well known in the Madison community, and she had just killed somebody. You know, and it was in a community or in a neighborhood where
that sort of thing just doesn't happen.
You know.
So we're about done, I think. But as you think about your life in Madison, because you're going to be heading out to, we're losing you to New Hampshire, which is kind of a shame, but.
Well, you're losing us because we can't be legally married here. Not because we don't like people here or don't like Madison, but.
Seriously, that is why you're leaving.
Well, and after 31 years, we're tired of being here, and we have a house there that we want to move into, and it's in the country.
And you're both retired.
We're both retired, and that's where we've dreamed of retiring to, you know. But we also want to be in a place where we have legal rights and legal benefits.
Absolutely.
And where our taxes go to helping us instead of hindering us. Or keeping us from being legally married. We got legally married a year ago this coming Saturday.
You did? In New Hampshire?
Well, and we had a civil union in Vermont from 2000, I think it was. And we, the law says that you can convert that into a legal civil marriage. And so we did that in Vermont. And then the next day in New Hampshire, we got married in an old meeting house with friends and family.
Small ceremony, but it was beautiful. It's really great. So we're having our first anniversary.
Yeah, first anniversary.
We have so many anniversaries.
Two domestic partnerships, a commitment ceremony, a civil union, and now finally a legal marriage.
Wow.
Martha's and two grandchildren.
Martha's sister keeps saying, how many more presents do I have to buy for you?
Now we're getting rid of everything.
And so you have two grandchildren.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our son is married to a fabulous woman. They live in California. And they have two children, Melana and Makayo. 11-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. And they're fabulous. They're wonderful people.
And do you still have a relationship with your ex-husband? I mean, you know, connections at all?
Somewhat. I mean, we go to major events together, that's for sure. When our daughter graduated from college, and weddings.
Those are few and far between, though, now.
Yeah, we see him now and then. I wouldn't say that we're close or especially an extended family. I think that's one thing we'd always hoped for.
It worked for a while, and then it was over.
Well, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Pat, for doing this. I know it takes a lot of time and effort on your part, too.
Absolute pleasure to hear your stories.